So we're going to hear the Bible reading and then we'll either stay in or go out. Thank you, Sarah.
So 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15. Generosity encouraged. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Sarah. And Katie's going to take some out. We're going to have a lot of fun in here, though, let me tell you. But you wish you were staying. You can catch it later on the website. Okay, so as you will know, unless this is your first time, we're having 3 or 4 months looking through our church values, the things that we believe to the core of our being as a church, and we're trying to embrace those and explore them a little bit. And so today we're thinking about generosity and giving. And the very first thing I want to say to all of you is thank you. So very many people in this church have given so generously over so many years. And that's the first thing really I want to say. Thank you so much for those of you who are really generous already. And I hope you have a vision for that giving, that generosity. As Bill Hybels frequently said, the local church is the hope of the world. And when a local church is functioning well and blessing its community, there's nothing else really like it. There's no other agency quite like the Church of Jesus Christ that is so beautiful and effective in showing what God is like and transforming lives. And I want to say, the money given to this church, I believe, is spent really well. And I know you think I would say that, but I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. It really is true. There is very little waste in our church. Well, apart from my waistline. Let's qualify it. That's my first of two jokes in this. So you missed it, I know. But we use budgets and we seek to make wise financial decisions over where your money is spent. But over the last year and a half, quite a few new people have joined our church. And so I just want to give an outline. Perhaps you don't know where money is given if you give to St. Francis. So just first of all, a quick outline of where your money goes. We're in this building, you will have noticed. It's a Grade 2 listed building. It is not cheap to keep up and upkeep an older building, as you will be able to guess. So we needed a new roof 2.5 years ago, which was £135,000, which was eye-watering. And yet, by the grace of God, we were able to take out loans, and many people in this church gave generously. So we're still in the process, obviously, of paying off loans. But that's one thing. And then just over 2 years ago, we launched Hope Church, because there's two big new communities at Old Sarum and Long Hedge. And so Will and Sophie Burtett, pioneer ministers on those estates, building up and now meeting in the community centre. So we're two sites, but one church. So we together are paying for ministry up there. They're meeting there at the moment. We've got a staff team. A couple of weeks ago, we went up to Naturally Supernatural, part of the Soul Survivor in Watford, and we just spent time in the presence of God, hearing teaching, and just being together. And I thought, I am so blessed that we've got a great staff team. I mean, you probably know that, but if you don't know them, our staff team are great. And it was just a joy to have more time with them. But we do pay salaries, obviously, so that's part of the deal. And then they are involved in delivering worship and home groups, our children and youth ministry. And then there's really exciting things like gas bills. No one's ever left us a sort of a bequest, a legacy. We want to upkeep the electricity of the church for the next 5 years, because it's not very attractive as a thing to give to, but it's necessary. There's all sorts of necessary things, and there's the pensions to keep up. So we're obliged to do that, and we want to, but it's part of our giving. There's comms, the communications, and now that has to be on multiple platforms, and we have to pay for that to be able to happen and for it to be attractive. And then, excitingly, we're able to give to others. So this, if you can see the photo, is Chris and Anna Hembury up in Hull. They are in the single most socially deprived parish in that diocese. It is so poor, and we are able to pay to contribute to them offering ministry in a really very difficult community. It's fantastic. And then there's Juba School. Because we were able to build the extension, people of this church gave, can't even remember, was it about £40,000? It was 10% of the cost of that, and built a whole school in South Sudan in Juba. That's fantastic to be able to do that. Cement is more expensive in South Sudan than it is in this country, because it's got to be brought in via Uganda or down from Khartoum. Either way, it's a nightmare. When I flew from Juba to Wau, which is the second city, and even that journey was a couple of hours. I mean, it's vast. So it's really expensive building things over there. And then there's a Child of Hope in Uganda. So for children who are orphans, being given education and fed and blessed, a best start in life. Just one thing, actually, I'll go back to Juba School. We had an evening in here a few weeks ago and heard about their amazing work. They're now having bursaries, and there are girls being boarding school. It's pretty unsafe for girls to get to school. And yet, strategically, educating girls is the single best thing any country can do to raise its economy. If girls get educated, it trumps anything else socially to be able to change the economy and the trajectory of that country. And they've started doing it at that school. And then I've got a picture of a pretty depressed housing estate in leafy Salisbury. I mean, I love living in Salisbury, although you'd be surprised, there are areas of real, genuine deprivation in our city, in our parish. Where I was in Poole, there were very tough places. And so part of what we give, what we together give, is what's called parish share. and we give to the diocese, this year it will be £80,000. Now, just to be clear, that is not my wage. I get way more than that, obviously. And it's a bit of a funny system because we as a church give to the diocese and the diocese gives to the church commissioners in London, and then I'm actually employed by the church commissioners, but they won't employ me unless the diocese pays, and the diocese won't pay unless we pay. So it's a sort of a holy trinity of giving. But the way it's worked out is that there is a cost, a unit cost per clergy, but many deprived parishes couldn't possibly afford ministry. But we have made, as a church nationally and at a diocesan level, a promise to have ministry in every place, whether it can afford it or not. So we give money to pay for parishes, in part, as well as me, for people who could never pay for that ministry. So I feel excited that we're paying more than my costs, because we're blessing others who won't be able to pay for it. I feel that's a good thing. I'm glad we're paying more. And then just a couple of other things. There's the Salisbury Food Bank. There's people give generously and put the food in at the front or at my house and it's taken down. Or anyone know the other logo in the middle on the right-hand side? Who knows what that logo is? It's the Salisbury Women's Refuge. So I went to their AGM two weeks ago, and I just had a chat with the chair, and she said, thank you so much. You as a church, St. Francis, you're great. Now, perhaps you didn't even know you were great. Perhaps you didn't know you were giving there. But when you give to us, we give to others who we think they need support. They're doing a great job in a tough place, and it really makes a difference. And then other things, something that happened just this week. We have to do staff training. How to be a fire marshal. It's right up there. There's Katie putting out the fire, the ministry of quenching. And there's Will, if you don't know him, Will Burdett. So he oversees with his wife, Sophie, ministry at Hope Church. He really thinks he's Fireman Sam. He was loving it. Now, why do we do this? Because we've got too much money? No, because by law, we are obliged to do this training. And if there is a fire, we'll be really glad we did as well. But obviously, there's never fires in churches. So what could... But no, we do have to do this, okay? So it's really important. If you do hear an alarm, it is not a test. Well, it's maybe a test of hearing, but it's not a drill. Now, I don't think any of this is wasted money. And I'm thrilled that we as a church are able to be generous. And so this is the first thing. Just thank you for everyone who gives. And I hope you are, as Jesus said, blessed in giving as well as in receiving. Now, most people who give by standing order. That's actually a really boring slide, but I thought, as I'm on a roll of doing slides, so I better do it. So that's what a standing order looks like, and most people just choose to give that way. Some people also have little yellow envelopes. That's great as well. Some of you have never had the great joy of using the machine in the corner. And if you haven't ever used it, you'll get such a buzz. It's over there. What could go wrong? So that's really useful. So on Thursday morning when Katie's doing the teddy bears group in here, so that's a really easy way for people who don't have money to be able to pay for what they're getting there. So however you give, thank you. And I also want to say, if you are currently not in a position to give much or indeed anything, please be at peace. These are not easy days. And maybe you're in a financial crisis right now. And can I say, truthfully, if you are in a financial mess and you're probably feeling pretty sick and embarrassed about it, please come and tell me and we will give you a gift of money. If you can't cope, if you can't cope with a huge bill that's come in, your washing machine's died, and you don't know what to do, we haven't got a big pot of money, but even in the last 2 weeks, when I mentioned it last, someone in this church gave in some notes. I don't even know who it was, because we want to bless people in our community, including you. If you're in a spot of bother there, we'd want to be part of the solution, not the problem for you. So please be free from guilt. But actually, giving is a normal part of following Jesus. In the Sermon on the Mount, rather than the Sermon on the Mount, but we read in Matthew, when you pray, when you fast, when you give. This is, he says, you know, if you follow me, you'll do these sorts of things. If you don't know how to give, or you're sort of, you've got questions, there's two lovely people. So there's Mark. Do you want to just give us a little wave? And Mark, we are so grateful for what you do as our church treasurer. And Sally Reed, who's normally at the 9:30 service, who does the banking of the money and the salaries and gift aid. But just ask them if you want to find out more about, yeah, actually, I do want to do this. Or maybe you do give and you think, actually, I could give a bit more. I've had a wage increase. Maybe you need to give a little bit less because you've had a cut. So work it out. But if you need a conversation, Mark's your guy. And only Mark and Sally and God will know what you're giving. And that's how we want to keep it. Now, I don't want to be a legalistic Pharisee, because I know that in the Bible, they don't tend to come out well in conversations with Jesus. But Sue and I, our practice that we've always felt was what we were meant to do is to give 10% of our income. So in the Bible, that's called a tithe. That's what they did in the Old Testament. The income, you work out 10%, and then that's given to God. And then on top of that, there's offerings if there's particular needs. Like for Ukraine, you might want to give to the disasters emergency, but that's slightly separate. But you've got to work it out for yourself, what you think God is calling you to give. And we had eventually the reading from 2 Corinthians 9. Sorry about that. And just a couple of things from it. Remember this, says St. Paul, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, I need to make a confession. My dad was a farmer, a grower, and I've got all this way through my life, and I've never grown anything until this season. And I've got some that decking stuff, and because railway sleepers are too expensive, but that, and we got a ton of soil, and we've made our first ever vegetable bed, and I prophesy that we will have exceedingly fat slugs in our garden, and we'll just eat those, I think, perhaps, probably. But this, just a couple of days ago, woohoo, is crazy, because I was so unconvinced that it was going to work. I just put in, wow, it's nearly the end of the packet, chuck it in, let's put it all in. I was thinking, I suppose, of what Paul says, whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. And I didn't want to be sparing. I wouldn't want to risk being sparing. So we picked a radish yesterday. Hallelujah, the first fruits of the land. I mean, you couldn't live on it for long, in fairness. It was way more watery. I seem to remember them, they used to be more peppery. But anyway, there we go. It's a start. But this is how I feel about giving to the church. I don't want to give sparingly and have a rubbish, puny, embarrassing little crop. I mean, I don't want to have bragging rights over it, but I want to feel that's great. And I know when I have given generously to something, it's felt great because I know I can see the difference. I was able to help support some work. In my last church, there was a guy called Malcolm who he worked in Mexico, and there were families, whole families with no house, and he built Homes for Hope. And he was, I mean, I thought, I'm not going to drop into Mexico anytime soon. But me and a few others, we could pay his salary. Isn't that a weird thing? If 10 people tithe, they can employ an 11th person on an equal salary. I found that so exciting. Someone else working in the Dominican Republic, and wow, do you have a vision of giving? So it's not like a tax on faith, it's a joy. You're actually making a difference. And I love that, because I'm not going to Mexico, I don't think, anytime soon, or the Dominican Republic. But what Paul says is each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I just want to pick out each of you. Each of you. And if everyone is committed, has the vision, then it adds up really well. Because if I say, I wish the rich people would help more. I mean, did you notice someone got £186 million in a lottery? Wonder what that did to your heart this week. But actually, that's not the solution. There are vast problems. It doesn't need rich people. It needs all people. Each of you should give. This is normal. And if each of us do, the problem is sorted. Should give, but it's what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. So if I see the sides people, or, you know, Chris the warden's here this morning, you know, if he's coming with a stick, I see what you put in there. Do you want to try better? You know, that's not his role description as a church warden. Used to be in the Middle Ages, actually. That's what church wardens did. They collected pew rent. Have you been charged for that chair? I hope you haven't. But this is it. We give, but it's not under compulsion, not reluctantly. I mean, sometimes I feel reluctant, but I try not to. I try to make it my duty and my joy. For God loves a cheerful giver. And the Greek word there, hilarion, from which we get the word hilarious. So you see the collection plate and just have a little giggle, really. I'm giving to God. It's crazy, isn't it? I wonder if you have ever given till you laughed. I remember Sue and I doing that sometimes. Thought, I don't know how we're going to afford this, but we wanted to. And the joy, not giving till it hurts, but giving till it's hilarious. And you just feel the joy of the Lord in that. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart. And we plan it, what you've decided. So we don't say to our gas supplier, we want a regular supply, and we'll give you whatever is left in my pocket at the end of the month. They don't work on that basis, you'll probably find. And there's always more month left at the end of the salary, isn't there? So it doesn't work that way. Planning it. I hope you feel you can, and doing it joyfully. I just want to share a thought that this was also in my mind from 1 Chronicles, which is a book I'm not in too often. But David did something stupid and wrong, and now there's a plague running through the land. And David cries out, "What must I do?" And the answer comes back, "You've got to sacrifice to God." And it's on someone else's farm, a bloke called Arunah. And we pick up here. David said to him, to Arunah, "Let me have the site of your threshing floor so that I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Sell it to me at the full price." Arunah said to David, "Take it. Let my lord the king do whatever pleases him. Look, I'll give the oxen for the burnt offering, the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. All this I'll give to you." And David said, "Yippee!" No, he didn't. He replied, "No, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing." That is so insightful. How is it in any sense a sacrifice if it is not a sacrifice. That's what it means. He says, I couldn't do that. Then that's your gift, not mine. I will not sacrifice to the Lord offerings that cost me nothing. And I suppose this is the bottom line. Jesus said, whoever wants to follow me, I mean, they're going to have to take up their cross. It is costly. I sometimes think the way we invite people to respond to Jesus is, you know, it's all easy. And of course it isn't. And Jesus never said, take up your cross, and if after 30 days you're not completely satisfied, you know, that's not how it works. Discipleship is all forever. That's what he asked. And of course, the spirit of generosity is way more than our money, but it's never less than including our money as well. There's a lovely verse in 2 Corinthians 9. You remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. So I want to say thank you and also ask, have you thought about these things? And so I'm going to give just perhaps 5 minutes to think through some thoughts and some questions. Do you have a plan over what you give, or do you give what's left over? So are you planning, as Paul suggests we should? Secondly, do you think you have a healthy attitude to money? I mean, we're pulled out of shape. I am. I don't know if you've read Archbishop Justin Welby's really lovely little book called Dethroning Mammon, but there's some great chapters on what Mammon, and he was a treasurer, of course, of a multinational oil company. He's done some thinking about money and saying it does bad things if you're not really careful. So do I have a healthy attitude to money? That third point there, if 10 people tithe, an 11th person can live on an equal salary. I find that inspiring. I find it a joyful thought. And lastly, when have you been glad to have been generous? I don't want there to be any guilt here, unless it's God putting it on you. But I hope you don't feel I don't want to put guilt on anyone. Most of us feel too guilty too much of the time anyway. When were you last hilarious? I'm so glad we did that. So what I suggest we do is, if you're an extrovert, talk to the person next to you about any or all of those. If you're an introvert, pretend you're praying. And that, you know, that, or the shampoo position where you write down. But let's just have 5 minutes to think by ourselves or with others over our attitude to money. And there's no reporting back. Okay. I hope that wasn't too excruciating. Most of us are a bit embarrassed, really, talking about money. But no, it is. It's one of those things that British people find, and understandably. But let's pray. So, Father, we believe you are good. We've sung that, we've read it in your word, and we've experienced it in our lives. But for some people, even in this room now, there are bills that aren't paid, and there's just a sense of sickness over that. Lord, we ask for your help. I pray that you help us to be gentle with one another, that we'll be careful about what we say so we're not adding to people's complexity and pain. We pray, Lord, that whatever our situation, we will be those who are pouring ourselves out in generosity with our time, with our love, and with the resources you've given us, with the little radishes that we have. Would you take them and bless others as well? And we pray for the different agencies that we support as a church. Pray for Chris and Anna in Hull. We pray for that model school in Juba. We pray for Child of Hope, Uganda. We pray for poor parishes, and we're supporting their parish share. For the Salisbury Women's Refuge and the Salisbury Food Bank. Father, thank you that you've given to us so that we're able to give to others. And Lord, I pray that you help us all to have a spirituality of our use of money. That we're not, well, getting our knickers in a twist over the wrong stuff. That we have a healthy attitude to all that you've given us. That we use our resources with integrity, generosity. That you help us to plan. Lord, we place it in your hands. And secondly, we want to pray for the people of Ukraine and Russia and Eastern Europe. Just going to light the candle on the communion table. Jesus, we know you are the light of the world. We pray for your light and your truth to shine in Ukraine and Russia. Prince of Peace, bring in your kingdom of peace with justice. And we pray for all those we know who are really in need today because of health issues or bereavement. This afternoon, I'm taking a service in Braemar Lodge for remembering those who've died there in the last year. But perhaps in your mind's eye, you can picture people you know who you love but see no longer. Let's commit them to God now and pray for those we know who are bereaved and brokenhearted. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bring healing with peace. Thank you. You are the great healer. We trust in you for ourselves and all our loved ones. Perhaps in this moment you might just call out a name, just a first name of someone you particularly want to bring to God today. Lord, bring healing and bring peace. And finally, let's pray for our families, the people we share our lives with most closely. Would you ask God's blessing on them for this day, wherever they are? And let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.